Good morning, millennials. And that's not pre-recorded because we are together. That's right. Happy Thursday. Jax is back. We're in New York. We're podcasting together. My least favorite thing.
We are celebrating Toastiversary here in New York. I also don't think people knew that GMM is pre-recorded on remote days. I feel like that was kind of inside
secret.
It was
a part of the transition. No, I think the real toasters know that the Good Morning Millennials most mornings is pre-recorded.
Well, now you do. Now the secret's out, okay? We're not as authentic as we pretend to be. We're not genuine podcasters.
We are liars. We are fakes. And we are also models because something about podcasting in person, like, it's just different. Like, we both whipped out. Like, I'm wearing a heel. You're wearing a heel. We're both wearing stockings. Like, we literally are going to synagogue. We both look so gorgeous. And it has a lot to do with...
We have a big day.
Right. We do want to look beautiful for each other in person, you know, when we're podcasting together. But Jackie and I are also, like, booked, you know, different press interviews, meetings and things of that nature.
Yeah.
You guys wouldn't understand.
Which is cause for the seam laugh for me. Also, yeah. When we're in studio like this, it's a different angle, so you can wear different things. Like, I can't wear a skirt in my home setup.
It's not the morning vagina.
Literally, but here at an angle, it's lovely. And I am wearing pantyhose. I am wearing, if you're not watching video, tights that are nude.
Congrats, that's amazing.
Like, you're wearing tights that are black, which people do all the time. That's
and
a
you
normal
can see
thing.
It.
To wear pantyhose stockings.
It's definitely like an elderly thing to do, but the elders were onto something. And that's what they say about the elders, that they're wise. The old ladies have been wearing nude, like they invest, not like shit from Duane Reade. Like they invest in like the Donna Karen, the Calvin Klein, excuse me. And a nice nude stocking can change the world.
Yeah, these are Calvin Klein. I didn't have to shave my legs. I didn't have to moisturize my legs.
Spray
I didn't
tan.
Have to tan my legs.
Which we are doing tomorrow. I haven't gotten a spray tan in so many weeks. And sort of the buzz of the spray tan upcoming, it's giving me sort of like a new direction, as Will Schuster would say.
A new lease on life.
A new lease on life, a sort of je ne sais quoi.
These tights are giving me a new lease on life.
You're giving me a new lease on life because you're here.
I know, it's so exciting.
We have such a fabulous week planned. Of course, we're going to be podcasting today and tomorrow in person, which is, you know, fun for some, not for others.
It's just 2 days, Clark. We'll make it.
We'll make it. And, you know, we're having dinner with the girlies tonight.
Yeah.
We've got our Toastiversary this weekend. Liv is coming to town. We're having Shabbat dinner. Like,
We're booked and busy.
We're getting spray tans. What more could a couple of swirlies ask for?
Not much. I'm getting Botox, you guys, which is really the reason why I'm here. We planned Toastiversary, so I had a reason to come to New York to get myself some Botox. So tomorrow,
I think it's today, right?
I know, but by tomorrow,
new woman.
You'll be looking at a teenager. This will be a Gen Z podcast.
And when you're back on the show on Monday, like back in your house, like you will recognize the girl who was last sitting in that chair. She'll be tan. Sure. She'll be properly celebrated. She will have a face that doesn't move.
Yeah.
And she'll be back in her sweatpants. So
I love a face that doesn't move. That'll be me soon. I'm so excited. I kind of like forgot about it.
No, Jax, like
everything's coming up, Jax. Everything's coming up toes. Because everything's always coming up turdy.
That's so not true, but thank you.
I know, but I just couldn't pay myself a compliment.
I know. Like, what are you like? Come on, it's okay. It can be about you.
No, but
momentarily.
I'm uncomfortable when it's about me. That's what people don't get.
I feel that about me. Like when I get attention, I feel really uncomfortable.
No, I not to be like, I don't
coy,
like it.
Yeah.
But like seriously, in that moment, I couldn't stand on my own under the spotlight.
You're giving not like other girls energy. Like I don't like attention. I'm not like
no,
other girls.
No, I know.
I prefer to hang out with guys and like drink beer.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. Wait. You just reminded me of something. Two things we have to say. One, I have to correct something I said on yesterday's show. The basketball player who has the same name as Joaquin Phoenix, his name is literally...
Not Joaquin Phoenix.
It's Joaquin Noah. Like, the two people couldn't be more different. So just disregard.
Just forget that. Forget what you heard.
And two, oh my God, wait. I know everyone's over me talking about Reba, but I have to tell you something. Me and Ben are, of course, watching Reba. And, like, the way... Since it's an old show, Hulu doesn't have the option to skip the intro. Like, you have to watch it. And the way the song is so ingrained in us, we know every word, but we also know, like, every background vocal and every beat. And it opens up, my roots are planted in the past. But before that, Reba says, like, hey!
That just triggered memory.
And Ben, like, every night, like, five times, Ben, not even when the show is on, he'll be like, he'll walk in and be like, I'm going to take Romeo out. Hey! And it's become like one of my favorite. Hey! If I see you in the street, just
know.
Hey!
Beautiful.
Add it to the list, you know?
Add it to the list.
I realize, like, when I say something and you don't have anything to add, but you don't want to be rude, you always say beautiful.
Oh, no, that's just what I'm saying, like, right now. Other times in the past, totally. For sure.
Yeah, no, you're in your beautiful era.
Which I think is a nice era to be in.
I agree.
And what's what you say? The eyes go up.
Oh, when you say something I'm not interested in, I say, that's amazing.
This is what you say.
What?
Speaking of that.
Oh. Yeah, I definitely use it as a platform, as a segue.
You say, I'm so glad you brought that up.
Because I've
been dying to bring it back to myself.
Yeah, no, it's true. And actually, I'm so glad you brought that up because I actually did want to say that today, Romeo is going to the trainer because, mm-hmm. you know, we have a busy weekend and then I'm headed to Israel. So, like, I don't really have time for him. And I just feel like I can be really honest on the podcast. Like, I'm so excited for him to be leaving. Like, it's really, there are no words. I love him. I do. Not as much as Theo, like, not even close. I love, 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 love him. He is such a pain in the ass. Like, first of all, like, take more shits in my house. Like, this morning, like, another dump. Like, damn. Yesterday, like, dump, 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 dump. And bite me more, like scratch up my legs more. It's like I'm showing leg this weekend in my Toastiversary dress. I need to shave my legs, get a spray tan. I'm gonna have cuts all over my legs.
It's gonna burn.
Bite me more, scratch me more. Like, seriously, he can't get out of my house.
Yell at me, okay? Yell at me, Romeo.
No, by the way, I wish you guys could hear, like, when I try to tell him to stop, sometimes I get, like, annoyed. I'm like, today, I'm like, that's what we're not gonna do. We're not gonna hurt mommy. No. Like, I was being crazy.
We can imagine.
Yeah, so I think it's best for both of us if he heads over to Dog Friendly Living, who, like, it's been waiting for him to arrive with bated breath. She doesn't know what's about to show up on her doorstep.
Well, I appreciate the transparency because I feel like a lot of times influencers, like, might be having trouble with their dog.
I know, by the way, that's putting it mildly. We are having trouble. And so he's
and so then they just, like, go dark and everyone's like, where's the dog?
No, we are struggling. I'm not going to give up the dog, though. That's what the influencers do. They give up their dogs. I'm not. Like, I know we'll get... And I imagine it was like this with Theo. I remember a couple of really dark days with Theo and, like, literally, like, regretting the decision. So don't worry, I'm not giving Romeo up, but I am just sort of... It takes a village, you know?
Yeah.
And Ben and I... Romeo's on the schedule now where he exists in 3-hour time blocks. He gets 1 hour free time, 2-hour nap in the crate, then we take him out,
He's
1 hour free time.
He's a newborn.
And that 1 hour of free time, like... It's hell. Like, it's absolute hell. And Ben and I are just, like, looking at each other and, like, we keep offloading Romeo. We're like, no, I have to go take a meeting. Like, I've been so busy this week because I cannot go home. And it's like, we count the minutes at, like, 58. Ben's like, do you think I can put him in? I'm like, yeah, you can put him in.
That's funny.
Is that, like, newborn life?
Yes, except there's not as much dread.
And there's more love. Like,
of the awake time.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie. Like, the love is, it's definitely, It's taking its time.
Love grows.
Love grows. And there's love there. Like, I love him. But, like, the way I can't even have a nice moment with him. Like, we never have, like, cuddles. We have no, like, licks. Like, he just bites me.
Damn. He wants to bite a turdy. Everyone wants a piece of turdy.
I cannot wait for him to leave. Like, this weekend, like, it's turdy's weekend. You know? Everything's coming up turdy.
As I tried to tell you.
Yeah.
Well, we have a really great show because the stories are hysterical.
The stories are hysterical. We have Dear Toasters because we weren't able to do it yesterday. And I know you're just, like...
Dying to.
You flew to New York.
Yeah.
For that. So that's amazing. And yeah, is that it?
And Jackson called back
And
together.
How was your travel day? I'm so sorry. Busy? Well,
it was good. It was not the easiest one, but not unreasonably hard.
Okay.
Just, like... Naps didn't coincide with times in which we'd like to be napping.
Of course, things in which to nap.
Yeah, so it was a lot, but we made it and all good. No complaints. Yeah.
Well.
Without further ado, here are the Fast Five stories that you must know.
Crunch. Yeah, that's right. And the Fast Five stories you need to know are brought to you by Dossier. After learning about the incredibly high markup across the designer perfume industry, Dossier began their mission, make luxury fragrances accessible. At Dossier, each scent is crafted of the best ingredients sourced from Grasse, France, the perfume capital of the world. Their expert perfumers are among the top industry noses, each of them having worked with the most prestigious luxury brands that you see on the market today. A fun fact is that fragrances cannot be patented. The ingredients inside the designer perfume bottles that you all love only cost around $2, okay? Some of you guys are paying, like, over $100 for a bottle of a perfume. That's why Dossier decided that it was time to revolutionize the fragrance industry and bring you the same designer quality for a fraction of the cost. All perfumes range from $29 to $49, and today we have a discount code for you. They have perfected a wide range of designer fragrance impressions, yes, basically dupes, inspired by some of the most popular fragrances and a variety of unique original perfumes for everyone to find their personal scent. I know a lot of people like believe like scent is really important and they're going to invest in their scent, and I just have personally never believed in spending more than a certain amount of money. I know people, like one of the very viral fragrances right now is $300. Like, it's so stupid. It's literally water, and it's not even like a bottle of water. It's like 3 ounces of water. Dossier basically being like a designer fragrance dupe company is so genius, and their fragrances are so good.
So good, and they tell you what's the dupe for what. So if there's something you've been looking for, you don't have to smell them all to find out.
Indulging in luxury personal pleasure that everyone can enjoy each day at Dossier. Visit dossier.co and use code TOAST at checkout for 10% off your next order. That's dossier.co, code TOAST for 10% off. Today's episode is also brought to you by Hiya Health. Typical children's vitamins are basically candy in disguise. They're filled with 2 teaspoons of sugar, unhealthy chemicals, and other gummy junk that kids who are growing shouldn't eat, especially like under the disguise of being a vitamin. So that's why Hiya was created. The pediatrician-approved super-powered chewable vitamin that our niece Michaela, like seriously, is obsessed with. It's the best part of her day. While most children's vitamins are filled with 5 grams of sugar and they can contribute to a variety of health issues, Hiya is made with zero sugar and zero gummy junk, but it tastes great and it's perfect for picky eaters. And Hiya is filling in most common gaps in modern children's diets, so it's going to provide the full-body nourishment that our kids need with a yummy taste that they love. Formulated with the help of nutritional experts, Hiya is pressed with a blend of 12 organic fruits and veggies, then supercharged with 15 essential vitamins and minerals, including vitamin D, B12, C, zinc, folate, and many others to help support immunity, energy, brain function, mood, concentration, teeth, bones, and more. It's non-GMO, it's vegan, it's dairy-free, it's allergy-free, it's gelatin-free, it's nut-free, it's everything else you can imagine free, so your kids, really all kids, will love it. We've worked out a special deal with Hiya for their best-selling children's vitamin. Receive 50% off your first order. To claim this deal, you must go to HiyaHealth.com/toast. This deal is not available on the regular website. Go to Hiya Health, HiyaHealth.com/toast to get your kids the full body nourishment that they need to grow into healthy adults. Today's episode is also brought to you by Saks.com. Jackie and I have decided that we are saying yes to warm weather, even though we're both wearing stockings. And that means we are stepping up our wardrobes. Clearly, look at us. And with the helps of with the help of Saks.com. So everybody knows that Saks.com is the place to shop. They make it easy for us to get a jump into spring and summer fashion trends as we approach the warmer seasons. So whether you're looking for new boots for Stagecoach, beachwear for St. Bart's, new activewear for a 5K you're training for, they've got it all at Saks.com. Jackie and I are multifaceted women, you know? We can't just be, you know, confined to one sort of type of clothing. We need a full wardrobe as fashionistas, as mothers, as businesswomen, as athletes, you know? Saks.com is super fun and easy to shop on with brands that we love like Staud, Loewe, Favorite Daughter. Saks also does a great job of finding up-and-coming designers so you can hop onto new trends before everyone else. For the Eras Tour, I was able to get my hands on that Danielle Guizio skirt that everybody else wore and like copied me, but I was on trend thanks to Saks.com. With different curated shops like Spring Wedding Guest, It Girl Closet, Designer Shop, and Date Night, Saks makes it easy for you to find exactly what you're looking for. You can find anything from a cozy vibe to a more elevated look at Saks.com. That's Saks.com. So discover new ways to shop for everything every day at Saks.com. Saks.com. Thank you, Saks.com, for sponsoring today's episode.
Thank you, Turdy, for letting us know that Saks.com sponsored today's episode.
An honor.
Our first story is a bit of breaking news that you actually haven't heard yet.
Okay, so I saw you being like weird on your phone. What is it? Is it going to shock me?
Yeah. O.J. Simpson has died at the age of 76 after a cancer battle. So they just posted to his Twitter on April 10th, our father, Orenthal James Simpson, succumbed to his battle with cancer. He was surrounded by his children and grandchildren. During this time of transition, his family asks that you please respect their wishes for privacy and grace.
I'm finding it really hard to come up with something to say because you're not supposed to speak ill of the dead, but like...
Yeah, it's hard to find something to say.
You know, I'll say this. I feel like the Kardashians talk about his kids a lot, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's hard to lose a parent. I'm sorry. Like, I don't know what the fuck to say. Like, low-key, murderer, not once but twice, justice for Ron Goldman and Nicole Brown Simpson. And, like, it's just, I don't know where he is right now. I can't. Like, I'm sorry. I can't talk about this. I feel like the story, like, I can't.
It's a trap.
Like, what are you doing? It's a trap. Like, what am I supposed to say?
Yeah.
Am I like devastated? No.
It's the shocking, man though.
Like literally killed two innocents
and didn't ever really do the time for the crime.
No, no, of course not.
Like if the blood did not fit, they must acquit.
Exactly. And like, no, and I feel like my takeaway from that whole show that they did was like, one, he totally did it. And two, like I feel we're always talking about Nicole Brown Simpson, Nicole Brown, but like, what about Ron Goldman? Like the lovely, delicious Jewish waiter who was just being a mensch returning that lady's sunglasses. Like, it's so upsetting. I really don't want to talk about it. Like, so I guess what I have to say to OJ is deuces.
You know what I have to say? Rip. This is a time you can say rip, OJ.
Lowercase r. Rip. Ripage.
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 Ripage Simpson.
Ripage.
So yeah, that's the big news of the day now.
I don't know how to feel, so I just won't.
I feel surprised.
Yes, no, and I kind of, I'm not gonna lie, I feel like happy, like I was able to get breaking news like on the show. That never happens. That's like always fun.
Yeah. I didn't realize that he had cancer. I don't think that was
public. I think I knew that, but I don't know why I like thought he was lying.
Yeah, or gonna be okay.
Ripage.
Ripage. That's all there is to say.
Yeah.
I feel like it's really the end of an era.
It is, like the jokes and stuff and like the TV like show.
There was never like closure with this case because, you know, if OJ didn't do it, then there's murderers still out there.
No, no. And that was what was so crazy. Like people would take pictures of him like, oh my God, I was on the golf course. I saw OJ Simpson. Like he was like out and about. He wasn't like a hermit.
No, but say he didn't do it. Then like, why didn't they ever continue to look for the person who did?
Because he did it.
Right.
Know? Like he did that shit, you know?
Yeah. So there's not been any closure, but this really is the end of this story.
Yeah. No, it's actually really crazy.
Yeah. Are you ready for our next story?
I'm very ready.
I've never been more ready.
Like, eager, I would say.
The Jonas Brothers have found themselves in some hot water. They're being called out by fans after they rescheduled 22 tour dates at short notice to make room for exciting projects. So the Jonas Brothers put out a video saying that they will be postponing some of their international tour dates because they have exciting projects coming up. They explained that they had to reschedule every single European date due to other exciting projects taking precedence. In the clip, Nick said we had shifted the European dates to later this year, but that is only because we have some exciting projects that we're very excited to share with you at a later point. European fans, we love you. We can't wait to see you. It's been long overdue, and we're going to wait even longer. And we are so excited to play these shows later this year in the fall.
Okay, I have a theory. I feel like, and because Nick was the one like talking in the video, I feel like they just wanted to take the attention off of Joe. I feel like, because it was like a lot of international, sometimes it's so hard for me to talk, with his custody stuff with Sophie Turner, there was a lot like of their permanent residence was in England, and I feel like if he spends a certain amount of time out of the country, it could be like used against him in his custody. I actually feel like that's what's going on.
Interesting. I feel like something came up. I kind of feel like with a tour, it's very exciting at first and like headline news. And then it gets a little long in the tooth.
And the
like,
further away from home you get.
It's like, this isn't that fun anymore. I think something came up that was more exciting to them than the idea of doing the second half of the tour. And maybe by the time the European date reschedule dates happen, they'll be excited again.
But what project could one of them, all three of them,
like a movie, another album, it would have to be something big. And even if it is like a Joe custody thing, they need to now make something up. Like a reality show or a documentary.
And the thing is like people are allowed to postpone shows. And I feel like if they had said, you know, if they're covering up for something, saying you're doing it for another more exciting, like basically putting an opportunity ahead of like the fans who paid money, like it does look a little bad. Like, but whatever, if this is a cover up for something, you would say like, you know, people cancel tours and don't get backlash for like other reasons. Like, and I feel like if it was a wolf, mental health, I would feel like if it was a woman, I'd be like, oh, maybe she's pregnant. Like, I don't know. I just feel like I hope this actually is a lie because the truth is like kind of fucked up.
I feel like it could be a vague interpretation of the truth, and they never expected that announcing it like this would get backlash and people would see it that way. Like, I feel like they were like, let's keep it light, exciting project, see you later this year. Because really, who looks into these things? And if I just saw that, I wouldn't be like, that's messed up.
But I think it was kind of like unignorable because 22 shows, it's not like a small leg. 22 is like a shit ton, and they're doing stadiums or arenas, so that's like 22 times, that's like 400,000 people, you know?
Yeah, I just, like, when you think about who they're harming, like, really the people who will be affected by this, it's like, oh, we're not going to the Jonas Brothers next week. We're going in 6 months. Okay, like, yeah. Victimless.
Yeah, it's a victimless crime, for sure, for sure.
The babysitter wasn't called yet. It's well, not if people
had,
on the plane.
Had planned travel, you know. It's very unfortunate, but these things happen.
It's inconvenient, but if I held tickets to a show that was then moved, even if it was maybe something I was traveling for, like, I'd be very inconvenienced. But first of all, like, I can move my flight. I'm still well within the window.
Yeah, I mean, that happened with us with Kelly.
That happened to us with Kelly. But, like, say I was traveling for Luke, and I picked this date and this show, and Luke moved it. It would be okay.
Okay, I'm going to call you out. Like, you're an affluent person, you know?
No, but the flight is changeable.
Yeah, but, like,
the hotel is changeable. You're enough in advance. Those are the two things.
And I guess if you're, like, spending money on a hotel and a flight for a concert, like, you have disposable income.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's not the biggest deal, is my feeling.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like they'd be doing this for nothing. There are three
fathers. I need to know. I need to know.
There are three fathers. They're going through stuff.
I need to know. I still like my theory about it being a cover-up for a custody thing.
I like that theory, too. And I could see that them being like, let's just keep it positive, exciting things coming. You know, maybe they're going back on The Voice.
No, but like, that does not.
No, I know, but they can say that was the exciting thing.
But that's the thing about being like a Jonas brother. Like, to go on The Voice, you probably make for that one show, which is like not a lot of work and a lot of fun. I bet Nick Jonas, because I know like Ariana Grande got $25 million for one season. Nick Jonas probably got 10 or 15. You don't make that on tour, especially when you're splitting it between the three of you.
Oh, yeah.
So
do you think that's where some of the Jonas Brothers animosity comes in?
I mean, I feel that way about you.
We actually talked about this on the Patreon. Because teaser for the Patreon.
People were asking us like how we split our revenue and stuff. And we're like, we're totally equal partners.
Yeah.
And then I said to Jackie, do you ever like dream of like when I'm sleeping in your house, like coming in and just like knifing me in the throat so you can keep all the money. And Jackie had a really good.
If you want to hear my answer, head to the Patreon.
Yeah.
And I think I made you see it in a different light.
You did.
And now you no longer want to stab me in my sleep.
Exactly. You really gave me such a fresh perspective and a very.
But I feel like with the Jonas Brothers, they don't feel that way about each other. Because they all think that it's about that. Like, they all
they think
solo
the show could go on.
And they do solo all the time. Because basically, now I have to say what I said, is that, I could stab Claudia, but I wouldn't make as much money on my own.
Right, and I could stab Jackie, but then it would be a one-woman show, and it probably wouldn't generate as much revenue. So, like, we have to split it, but it's more because we're together.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's so factual. So I was like, you know what? Okay, I won't stab you.
But I don't think the Jonas Brothers feel that way. Like, Nick definitely feels like I could do this with the other without the other two.
I know, and, you know, Joe was like, they both were really killing it, DNCE and then the solo. Like,
but DNCE, even though it was probably not split equally, he had to share.
Yeah, it's true. No, they were like.
Sharing is caring.
They were hired help. Like, he kept everything. Like,
you think?
Yeah.
They were just paid salary. They were salary.
Yeah, like how Tom Sandoval has his band members.
They didn't have equity.
They were the most extras, and he was Tom Sandoval. Do you know what I mean?
He is Tom Sandoval.
He is.
I think we made that call.
Did we?
Yeah.
That Joe Jonas has Tom Sandoval energy.
And Tom Sandoval has Joe Jonas energy.
Do you mean just in how they perform or their personalities as well? Because that's an enormous insult to sling at Joe Jonas.
It's a je ne sais quoi.
Oh, so she said what she said.
It's not in how, I mean, obviously Joe Jonas is so talented, but there's something about the way that they look, the way that their mannerisms.
And I think a lot of it has to do with their stage presence. Like, I feel like Tom Sandoval like, probably like studied.
Watches videos of Joe. And it's like, it's unfortunate for Joe that now they're compared.
Yeah. They kind of look like too.
Yeah.
They don't
not look alike.
They don't. They're both like brunette men.
Right. With
it's
strong
true.
Eyebrows.
Yeah. No, it's true.
So hopefully we find out what exciting news is going on in the world of the Jonas Brothers.
No, and I look forward to the day where I find out what this big project was and I can evaluate like if it was worth it. Right now we're just kind of punching in the dark. But once I have all the facts, and I feel like it might come that we never find out what it was and it was just like a diversion and they hope people in 6 months will forget about it. I won't forget. And I'm very much looking forward to, you know, circling back on this.
Yeah.
I'll be following up by EOD.
But it's something because to move 22 shows.
It's big. It's not a small thing.
Yeah. Just from an admin point of view, not even the fans.
Or they were, and I don't feel this way because I actually think the Jonas Brothers have a lot of really big fans, or they were selling poorly. And I feel like sometimes what people do is like postpone shows just to cancel them. But like, it's not such a big deal if you're canceling a show that's in a year. But if you're canceling a show that's in 3 months, it's like a bigger deal.
Got it.
So maybe, but I feel like they have a really strong fan base and I think they have really strong ticket sales.
And I would hope that whoever's like digging into this announcement would have brought that up if that were true.
Yeah.
So TBD on the JBs.
I love concert. Like this is a giving J-Lo, you know, I love mystery. Like what's going on?
Yeah.
I love it.
Our next story, a little movie news. A Monopoly movie is in the works from Margot Robbie and Lionsgate. After taking on Barbie, producer Margot Robbie is heading to the rich terrain of Monopoly. Her company, Lucky Chap, and her partners, her husband and Josie McNamara, are producing a live-action feature film based on the ubiquitous real estate-inspired board game. Hasbro, the backers of Monopoly, will also produce it, and Lionsgate has extended its development rights to the board game with the purchase of E1.
And I saw the funniest tweet about this. This news took the world by storm yesterday. Everyone was like, oh, Barbie, Monopoly. Somebody said, and the username is MovieBoy69. He said, if this movie is going to be a message about wealth inequality, I'm going to kill myself in the theater. No, because like with Barbie, you never thought it would become this like sort of political and kind of polarizing movie because it's just about dolls. And I remember when we said the story, I'm like, oh, cute, but like, how? And I feel that way about Monopoly. I'm like, oh, cute, but how?
Yeah.
And you know what? I could actually, now that I've seen Barbie, I actually think Monopoly will be good.
Oh, will be good or will become about wealth inequality? Because literally the point of the game, like you don't win until you have it
all. The most money. It's very capitalist.
Everyone has to have zero.
Yeah, yeah. And like there are different neighborhoods on the board. You know, that Mediterranean one is $60. And by the time you get to Atlantic Avenue, it's $400 or $500.
Yeah. The one right after Go. What
the Mediterranean, the purple, right?
Yeah. Mediterranean.
What?
I'm remembering a joke from that funny time we played Monopoly.
Did we talk about that funny time we played Monopoly on this show? One of my most fun.
They should make a movie based on that.
Live action. Literally, I'll direct it.
Yeah, because I was like going to reference something that's not on the board. That was a joke that I made.
Well, you were the banker and you were fraudulent. You were stealing from the bank.
No, I was building hotels on Mediterranean Avenue and I called them a Holiday Inn.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like when you were building property on the purple, it was a Holiday Inn. And you were building property on the blue.
On the boardwalk, it's Four Seasons. It's St. Regis.
Yeah, no, totally.
Yeah.
So funny. Oh, by the way, that literally, you just added more color to that game of Monopoly, because I don't remember like everything that was said. I just remember you kept calling yourself like impoverished and stealing from the bank, and it was so funny. And I didn't even remember the joke that you made about building Holiday Inns. That's funny.
Yeah, but that's where the real money is made.
It's true, by the way, like because everybody has to come past Go, and it's kind of like how everybody has to go to the airport, and at one point everyone's gonna stay at like a Best Western.
Yeah,
no, it's brilliant.
Like the Four Seasons, aren't they closed, sort of?
It's true. They're kind of like flop in their flop era.
Constantly under renovation. The Waldorf?
Yeah. Never reopened.
We need to talk about what's going on with the Waldorf.
It's kind of like a conspiracy theory in New York. If you don't know, the Waldorf Astoria takes up a full city block in Manhattan, in like Midtown. I think it's 48th. And it takes a park and Lex, like a huge avenue. And for years, it was like, you know, every president stayed there. It's at the center of sort of like banking and all those headquarters. And it's really fabulous, really gorgeous, gorgeous room. Ben and I did a staycation there for like one of our big anniversaries. And it was like the most special. The spa's amazing, restaurants. And then a couple of years ago, they're like, we are shutting down for one whole year. And we're going to come back as the biggest and baddest hotel you've ever seen in your life. Like, yeah. You thought we were sick now?
Shutting down for renovations, which, like, when you have such a big hotel, like, you have
a whole year. And everybody in the city was preparing.
We were understood.
People were, like, going there for special occasions, anniversaries. Weddings. Everyone was getting married there. Like, it was really, really special. And they were like, we're going to come back. And it was very historic. And it had been around for so long that, like, really it was a big deal that they were closing down. When I tell you they closed down for a year, it's giving One Direction 10 years
it's
ago.
It's been 10 years.
And now people say it's haunted. Like it's just
all
this,
boarded up.
It's this empty, enormous hotel. What is going on?
What is going on? And it's not like the Waldorf brand is defunct. Like they're
no, they just opened a huge one in LA.
Hundreds of hotels around the world.
They're owned by Hilton.
So what is going on there?
I don't know.
We need answers.
Mm-hmm. And honestly, I feel like it was one of those hotels, and I don't have any proof of this, but I'm reading Marjorie Post, and it's the early 1900s, and she's living in New York, and it's cool to see what like stores and hotels she references that are still open today. Bloomingdale's, Bergdorf's, and
the Plaza,
and I feel like the Waldorf was open then. I don't know for a fact.
It was open then because what book did I read? The Social Graces, maybe, but it was like two hotels separate: the Waldorf and the Astoria.
Oh,
and they were actually related to each other. One was like the nephew of the other, like the Astors.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And someone named like Waldorf. And then they merge and then they move there.
Interesting. And also Mar-a-Lago. That's like what the whole book is about.
Oh my God, she built Mar-a-Lago.
It's crazy to think that that's like what a country club, right? And that was her house.
Yeah.
She's so
rich. I forgot about that point.
The whole book is really kind of centered around her building Mar-a-Lago, and the beginning starts at Mar-a-Lago, and I feel like I'm like 60-70% in, and it becomes like after one of her divorces, like a sanctuary for her. And it's so crazy to think about, like, people get married there now, and like it's literally like a facility that can hold thousands of people. One bitch's house.
Yeah.
Legend. I
mean, you know, she tried to donate it.
To who?
To the government as a winter. Well,
is that part of the book?
Not real. Like, it's not a spoiler.
Maybe don't spoil it.
No, it's just a fun fact. So let me share the fun fact.
Okay.
She tried to donate it, like, to the president so that it could be their winter residence, like a White House,
you know what? Vacation. I feel like you've told me this before.
Yeah, and they actually was too expensive for them to upkeep, so they
she
declined.
She was so rich.
They declined.
She was so rich.
Yeah.
Okay, I just got to the part where she moved to Russia. Dark days.
Dark days, but really interesting.
Yes.
If you like Russian history. Yes,
interesting to hear about somebody who like actually lived in communist Russia and like came back to tell the tale. I feel like once you go to communist Russia, you don't come back.
Did she go to the warehouse yet?
No, she literally was invited. When I was last night reading, she was invited to the warehouse. She did her first outing with that lady, and now they're going to the warehouse.
Okay, the warehouse is sickening the house down boots.
Okay.
Okay, so Monopoly movie.
Oh,
yay,
right.
Or nay?
I feel like after seeing what I saw with Barbie, and I know like we joke, but like at the end, like I like didn't dislike it. I actually liked it. I thought it was like cute and well done. I feel like Monopoly could actually be like funny and creative.
Yeah.
I'm not against it.
It wouldn't be my first idea.
No.
If.
But we also heard about Hot Wheels, remember?
Oh, yeah. All these movies are going to be made from like Mattel and Hasbro, yeah. And I'm kind of good on that. Like, I'm sure they'll wind up being good and I'll get into it. But what about original ideas? What if we just thought of original ideas?
You know, I thought of that yesterday because I saw, like, Max was announcing their new show, Pretty Little Liars, Summer Vacation. And I'm like, my God, how dead are we going to beat this horse? Why is it so hard for, like, streaming services to, like, come up with original concepts? Like, how many spinoffs do we have to have?
It's insane. Spinoffs, reboots.
And just like that. Reunions, like, it's so uninspired.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Are you ready for our next story? A little more gaming news.
And some of, like, the most popular things right now, like, are from books. Like, they're not even original themselves.
Yeah.
Sorry, yes, I'm ready for some more gaming news.
Scrabble.
Oh.
Mattel has launched a new version of Scrabble, which is going to be less competitive.
And less hard, basically.
Yeah. Mattel is about to launch a new version of Scrabble, which is designed to be more collaborative and accessible for those who find word games intimidating.
It's an attempt to get Gen Z to play Scrabble. And basically every Scrabble board that's sold now is going to have Scrabble on top. And then you flip it over and it's like the dumb version for Gen Z. Apparently Gen Z like hasn't been taking to Scrabble. And it's like the least shocking thing ever. They're radical. They're...
For sure. But like, were you playing Scrabble when you were 17? No.
I was playing Bananagrams a lot.
It's something that I think you grow into.
Yeah.
And I think lowering the bar is a sad state.
So I think it's emblematic and reflective of our, you know, it's a current state of the union. Mm-hmm. These kids are dumb and, you know, they're all on their phones and they're all bullying each other and they're all mentally ill. And I think it all stems from the phone. And I follow Jessica Seinfeld on Instagram, and this is like one of her like platforms. She's really, really against like social media and cell phones for kids, and she's like working on passing, you know, all these laws that kids shouldn't be able to be on social media before they're 16. And
you know, they just passed that in Florida.
Gorgeous.
You can't have social media if you're under 14, and then 15 and 16 you need a guardian permission.
Honestly, make it 18. Like, and I think this Scrabble story is just one of the, you know, indications of how far we've fallen and yeah. How these kids are, well, like they should be playing Scrabble. These kids need Scrabble desperately.
Yeah, they should be locked in a room with a Scrabble
intellectual board. Stimulation that's, you know, guys, is a game, it's fun, mm-hmm. It's competitive, and they need to get off their phones.
Yeah, this is really crazy. The flip side will have helper cards, which use a simpler scoring system and is quicker to play. It's called Scrabble Together and will also allow people to compete in teams.
And I'm sure it'll be successful, you know, whatever. I just think, what does it say? I think it says a lot.
Yeah, well, a lot of goalposts and like milestones have been moved recently.
Because of the phones.
Yeah.
1,000%. Not thought about good. This lot. No.
I don't think we should be meeting them where they are.
No.
I think we should be...
raising the bar. Join us up here.
Asking more of them.
Yeah. Why don't you join us?
And it's like, you can make Scrabble a little more Gen Z friendly by making...
Words.
Riz,
right. Like, making a list. That's what they should have done, of acceptable modern slang words. Like, riz.
Bussing.
Bussing. Lit.
Yeah.
Yeah, like there are ways, but no, start intellectually small. They have to lower the bar because, like, and I'm sorry, I feel like we have a growing group of Gen Z listeners. And honestly, if you listen to the show and you're Gen Z, I do feel you're far above superior to your comrades. So really, this isn't an indication of you. But after going to the Olivia Rodrigo concert and just spending a lot of time on social media and seeing what the youth is up to, I'm extremely worried about them. I actually really dislike them and I can't wait for them to grow up.
Yeah, but this isn't helping.
And they like dislike people my age because they think we're like chuggy or whatever. Fine, think I'm chuggy. I think you're dumb and dangerous. So I'd rather wear my hair, you know, to the side and skinny jeans than be you. So yeah. Why don't you, yeah.
Simping over Osama bin Laden.
Right. Couldn't be me.
Are you ready for our fifth and final story, which is incredibly relatable art news?
Incredibly relatable art news that's brought to you by the farmer's dog?
Yes, how'd you know?
This year, the easiest healthy habit to start is one for your dog. The farmer's dog makes feeding real healthy dog food easy and convenient, and your dog will absolutely love it. It's smart, healthy pet food that you can feel good about feeding your pup, and that's why it's time to quit the kibble, kick the cans, and start fresh. I feel like, you know, what did we all learn in Q4 of last year? Our dog's health is paramount, and some of us, you know, weren't as lucky. But now some of us have a fresh start. Make sure you're taking the absolute best care, investing in fresh, healthy dog food. The Farmer's Dog makes and delivers fresh, healthy dog food right to your door. It's developed by vets, it's nutritionally balanced, and it's made from real meat and veggies to the safety standards of human food. It is the best option for dogs at all life stages because it is not kibble, it is not canned goo, it's just real healthy food. Traditional dry and wet dog food options are highly processed, they can use much lower quality ingredients than they claim to, and they are extremely difficult to portion accurately. The Farmer's Dog are sending your food pre-portioned specifically for your dog based on their unique nutritional needs. It makes it easy to help your dog maintain their ideal weight, which is one of the biggest indicators of a full, healthy life. Once you switch to the farmer's dog, you'll notice your dog's breath is better, his poops are more regular and better, like shaped, their coat is really shiny, their teeth will look better. So get 50% off your first box of fresh, healthy food at thefarmersdog.com/toast. Plus, you'll get free shipping with that link, but only when you go to thefarmersdog.com/toast to get 50% off. That's thefarmersdog.com/toast, thefarmersdog.com/TOAST. Today's episode is also brought to you by Lumi. And if I had to tell you guys about the time I probably smelled my worst, it literally would have been last night when I came to see you. How many times did I say I smelled? I did two workouts yesterday, which I did want to address. Remind me later on.
Two a day?
Oh my God, I smelled so bad. And Lumi Whole Body Deodorant has made it so that we can smell our best every day, and so can you. Unlike other deodorants, Lumi is powered by mandelic acid to deliver outrageous 72-hour odor control everywhere, from your pits to your feet, and yes, even your privates, because it is pH balanced. It was patients' concerns about their private parts that originally inspired the OBGYN who invented Lumi. And I just want to say thank you. 72 hours. Like, I appreciate that, you know, because like, let's be real, who's showering every single day? And like, you know, if you skip, it's fine because Lumi's got your back. And Lumi's got your back because they're giving us a little code for new customers to get 15% off all Lumi products with the exclusive code and link, which is code toast at lumideodorant.com. Lumi is spelled LumiDeodorant.com. It's whole body deodorant. It's created by an OBGYN. It's baking soda free. It's paraben free and it's pH balanced. So it's safe to use in your nether regions. They have a variety of fresh scents like clean tangerine, lavender sage, toasted coconut, and new customers are getting 15% off all of Lumi products with the exclusive code and link. The code is toast, TOAST at LumiDeodorant.com. LumiDeodorant.com. LumiDeodorant.com, code toast.
Thank you.
Yeah, any more breaking news while I was doing the ads?
No, I checked.
Now I'm but it rains in applause.
But I'm glad because I really wanted to talk about this fifth and final story, which is cracking me up.
Okay.
A museum worker hung up his own painting.
When you said this to me yesterday, I was cackling.
Claudia, if she were a German museum worker.
And Claudia wouldn't be German, just...
The museum worker hung up his own painting, hoping for a big break. Instead, he got fired. Damn. A German art museum worker, an aspiring artist hoping for a big break, got the sack after he smuggled in one of his own paintings and hung it up in the gallery, home to famous pieces by renowned artists like Leonardo da Vinci and Henri Matisse. The 51-year-old employee had drilled two holes into a wall to mount his painting in Munich's museum, Pinatothek der Modern, hoping for an artistic breakthrough, authorities told a German newspaper. But guards quickly realized something was amiss, according to the spokesperson. Supervisors noticed something like this immediately. Damn.
Okay, like, I just want to say, while, you know, he did, you know, break the rules. Law?
Yeah, it's like, you know,
He didn't damage like the other piece.
Why, he drilled holes. He messed with art.
I just want to say, this is a person who cares so deeply about art and is so passionate. Like, yeah, he was wrong, but like, that's the type of person who should be working at a museum. I just want to say.
Not if he's only there for self-promotion. Like, if you could really take down a Matisse.
No, so the crazy
in
thing.
In favor of your own art.
The crazy thing is to put your work as like an unknown artist up against like Matisse and Da Vinci. So while I understand like wanting to get your art out there, it's actually disrespectful to art. And, you know, the history of art to put your, you know, piece of shit piece up next to those. And so while maybe it'd be different if he worked at like a low level gallery, like he was a gallery girl.
Yeah.
Definitely kind of, like, it's definitely crazy.
That would be like entrepreneurial, like grassroots motivating. Hustler. This is delusional.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And that's why it's not turdy. Cause like, I feel like I'm definitely like, you know, crazy and self-promotional, but I'm not. I'm a little delusional, but like not to the point where I would think like my art should be next to a Matisse.
Yeah. Well, the museum said the employee considers himself an artist and most likely saw his role in the museum's installation team as a day job to support his true calling. And like maybe he used this job always knowing that he was going to promote himself, not just like as a lover of art.
Okay. I just want to say like it's really not a crime to like use your day job.
No.
Like, I feel like waiters in LA, like, they all want to get jobs at, like, Craig's and stuff. Because that's where the directors are. And they think that's where they'll get. Like, I don't know. When an actor in LA does it, like, we think it's inspiring. But yeah, this no, guy, like.
I think.
I don't know. I see something. Maybe I see a little bit of myself in him. Because I feel, you know, oddly defensive of him and his entrepreneurial spirit.
Because there is something industrious about this and innovative.
Industrious. He's pulling himself up by his bootstraps. It's hard to get, you know, seen in the art world, you know? And people do crazy things and they're the ones who get attention. Remember, like we talked about at Art Basel, that piece that was $200,000 and the second it was purchased, it like imploded and was destroyed. And it was like a, you know, a statement on art. And then somebody else at Art Basel bought like a dirty banana peel.
Right.
And like, it's the people like that who are like kind of crazy and prankster and sort of out there, they get the attention. And it's not the hardworking museum clerks in Munich who get the attention.
But I just have to say, like, I absolutely need to see what it was.
Of course. I can't really speak further on the matter until I see. Like, was it stick figures?
The museum won't comment on the painting subject or
style.
Because
they don't want to give him exactly what he wants.
And they don't want to avoid copycat people. Like, who knows if it was really, like, art that maybe, if you're not paying attention, like, oh, that's a nice piece of art. Or was it, like, something offensive?
Oh, maybe it was like a big penis or something.
Well, that's what art is, so no.
Also, it could have been a swastika. That, right. It is Germany.
Right, that wouldn't offend the art crowd, a big penis.
And I want to say something about the people of Germany. Because, you know, we all clown on Germany. Like, after what they did, like, you can't say the word Germany without, like, saying Hitler, Holocaust, Heil Hitler, like, you know. And I want to say I feel like, and I don't think people in Germany, like, still have that sort of energy. I actually feel like the Prime Minister of Germany was really outspoken about anti-Semitism. But they take the jokes in stride. And they know they can't get mad. And I just want to say, like, I respect that.
I see you.
I see you and it's very, actually very Jewish of you. So I, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like they get it a lot. I just saw this thing on TikTok.
Well, it's kind of like the most known thing that
it's also
done.
Like low-hanging fruit. It's like and an it's obvious also joke. Like,
it was two wars that they did.
No, and not only that, it like low-key wasn't even that long ago. There are still people alive who experienced it and
who committed it.
Right. Well, and who committed it. That's what's so crazy. It was like this TikTok going viral, this girl. I don't know if she was like an American living in Germany, but she was basically like documenting her life in Germany. And she's like, I will say, like, I love Germany, but like the one thing is like the bagels aren't very good.
The one thing.
Right.
And also the bagels, because there's no juice.
Right. No. So people were like stitching it, being like, I wonder why there's not good bagels in Germany. And it was like so funny.
That's very funny.
Yeah. And honestly, I feel like the people of Germany took that joke in stride.
As they should.
As they should, and I give them credit.
No, that's like part of the reparations.
Yeah.
It's like you are demilitarized, you're denazified, and you must be okay with being made fun of.
And you're desensitized. Desensitized. To the jokes. And like the jokes, I'm sorry, they will always be funny.
Yeah.
Okay. That was a Fast Five, and you were right. They were hilarious.
Yeah.
And amazingly, the show isn't over because it's Thursday, which usually means nothing. But today it means everything because we are doing Dear Toasters, our weekly advice segment where you guys write in and get help from your favorite girly swirlies. And you can write in about anything. You can write into us via email, deartoasters@gmail.com. Or you can write into us on our website, thetoastpodcast.com. They're both totally anonymous. You don't have to worry about that. And if you've written in and we haven't read it, it's probably because it's uninteresting or too long, or we just get so many. And if you've written in and you have gotten advice from us and you have an an update for us, we would love to hear from you. We love to update everyone. So please don't forget about us if you've had your submission read on air. All right. Hey, Jackson Turdy. I'm a daily YouTube swirly here, and I love you both. 2 months ago, I started dating a guy, precious gem of a man. Tonight, I pooped before leaving to go hang out with him. He picked me up, we went to a bar with my friends, and we came back to my apartment. He went to the bathroom straight when we got here. From the living room, I heard a flush, and then I heard him start peeing, and then I heard him flush again, so clearly something was in the toilet that he had to flush before going. Regretfully, I said, "Why did you flush?" And then he said, "No reason." And now I can't stop thinking about the fact that I forgot to flush when I went to the bathroom while getting ready, and he definitely saw the poop. Do I ask him about this? Do I lie? Do I convince myself that I did flush and there was another reason? Sincerely, a toaster who will never forget to flush the toilet ever again.
Okay. First of all, this is better for, not that we do unburden, but there's nothing to be done here. Like, we just need to un this burden. And two things. I have two thoughts. We pretend like there was something else in the toilet.
And by the way, what's done is done, but I need to ask why on God's green diddly dally earth you asked him why he flushed twice.
Because, like, she was panicking.
Expose yourself more.
But here's the thing. I want, like, we're going to believe that it was something else regardless, but there is a chance that it was something else. And then you asked him, why did you flush? And, like, he's embarrassed of whatever it was about himself. Like, maybe he had a courtesy flush because he didn't want to clog your toilet.
So it is.
And then he poured a little water in, so it sounded like he was peeing.
It is really important to note.
Men are also as crazy as us.
It's important to note that, like, there's not 100% chance that you didn't flush.
Yeah.
Unless you're, like, remembering accurately, like, unless you know you didn't flush.
Or is this something that you do often? Like,
right, do you have a flushing problem?
Do you forget to flush sometimes?
The thing is, and let this be a lesson to girls everywhere, but you in particular, like, if you're going out somewhere, you're getting ready, and you know that everyone's going to end up at your apartment afterwards, whether it's a date or a group of friends, like, you have to leave your apartment and take that last look. That last look is so important.
I never thought the last look should also be in the toilet bowl.
I live with Ben Soffer, so it has to be. Anything, like, literally today I went to the guest bathroom to pick up your laundry for you and there was a pee in the toilet.
Here's the thing. If you guys are meant to be, this will not derail you. If he is, like, a serious mature person and he saw your dookie in there, like,
I want to say something. I think even, like, a serious mature person could get, like, a little icked out by someone's poop and then not want to see them again. Honestly, I'm sorry.
It depends how far in you are, but, like, if he loves you already and he's like, this is my girl, and, like, some, like,
poop is just, like, kind of crazy.
No, but that wouldn't undo all of that. If this was, like, 3 good dates and he saw your poop, maybe not. What did she say at the top?
2 months ago, started dating this guy.
Okay. Honestly, this could be make or break, and in a good way. Like,
yeah, it's kind of how, like, when you're dating someone.
He might not like
someone,
you enough to see your poop, or maybe he likes you enough that he didn't even see it.
It could be one of those accelerators. Sometimes when you're dating someone and, like, their birthday comes up or Valentine's Day, like, kind of moves the relationship along in a faster way than it would have had it not
or
been
the opposite.
Your birthday.
It's, like, clear they don't want to be serious.
Right. I feel like a poop could do that too. It could be an accelerator or a decelerator.
Yeah.
I guess we'll have this one. I would love an update on. I want to talk to you in 4 months. Are you still seeing this guy?
Yeah.
And then don't bring it up ever again,
no,
by the way.
But if you guys, like, get married and have kids, you could be like, by the way.
Did you by the way.
In the bowl.
Yeah.
Lols.
And he might not have any idea what you're talking about, and that will be because he threw up in the
and
toilet
then six
or something.
Years later, you can be free of this.
Yeah. Don't worry. It's only going to take 6 years. So we'll, at our 12-year toast-iversary, we'll be hearing from you.
Yeah.
All right, our next one. Hello, beautiful girls. Thanks for being the sisters I've never had. That's so sweet. I love listening on the daily. And this is my first time writing in, so here it goes. My husband, precious gem of a man, of 4 years, has recently voiced his expectation that we have sex together twice a day, roughly 14 times a week. It's important to note.
My husband of 4 years?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's important to note that this is not at all the cadence we have ever kept, even in the early days.
Don't they have jobs?
While I've recently become a stay-at-home mom to our baby, who has time for this? Am I being unreasonable for saying that this expectation is unrealistic? Girl.
That's insane.
First of all, to just outright say you want something different in your marriage, something important like sex, 4 years into it, it's like something's going on in his life. This man's having an affair. I just want to say, to have such a crazy, like, drastic change of heart on something, like, very important, it's giving midlife crisis. It's giving something's going on in his life. I wouldn't be surprised if you found out, like, he was keeping a separate family. Like, this is just behavior that's so crazy. It's indicative of something crazy.
Yes, possibly. But let's say it's not, for whatever reason. Like, he just woke up and he's like, I want more sex. I deserve more sex. And we're going to have more sex. Like, no, that's not how it works.
Right.
Also, like, you have a baby. Whatever. Like, and baby probably takes 2 naps a day. So you don't even get, like, 1 nap of free time. Like, yeah. Also, doesn't he work?
No. And it's like, okay, you want more sex? Earn it. Take me out to dinner.
Yeah.
Romance me. Buy me lingerie.
Romance
buy me a necklace.
Me twice a day.
Yeah. Okay. 2 necklaces a day.
Yeah, this is insane.
Sex isn't just given. It's earned at a certain point in a marriage.
Right, but like say he came to her and said like, came with a reasonable request. Like maybe they were dropping off and they were like, I want to go, you know.
Well, that's different. If you hit like a lull and you say like, let's prioritize each other. Let's start having sex. I feel like if you're in like a lull, a reasonable thing is like, let's start having sex 2-3 times a week.
Yeah. No, if he had said that.
Two, and then three times like, a day.
No.
Maybe you misheard him.
If he had said that, that's like different. 2 times a day is insane.
And to just outright say it, be like, this is my expectation, you know, meet me here. No.
How about no?
What if I just left?
How about no?
What if I just didn't? So this sounds like a man, do a little bit of digging. Like sometimes, like I just have a gut feeling that like this is, I don't know, it's kind of a crazy thing to say after 4 years, like something changed so drastically. I don't know. I would look into like his cell phone. Just honestly, I would. And then if there was nothing nefarious going on, have you ever heard of the word no?
Yeah.
Just like a big fat fucking no. Our third and final, dear toasters, please help in all caps. I've been listening to your podcast for a little over a year, and I can truly say I love my drive to work because I get to cackle with you guys on the way there and back, so thank you. Oh, that's so nice. I need help on a recurring topic in my marriage, Zin pouches. Do you know what those are, Jack?
No.
You don't?
Is it dip?
Kind of. Okay. So in case y'all don't know, Zin is a brand of nicotine pouches that have been around for like 10 years, and I'll just tell you, they're like big in the culture right now. It's dip, but they're packed in like little, they look like little tea bags.
Yeah.
And you put them in your lip and you have like a cup all day that you like spit into. And the brand Zin, like they have taken over for vapes. Everyone, all the young kids are all day, every day have these pouches in their mouth.
Okay.
And it gives you like a high, like a nicotine high.
Yeah.
My
a cigarette.
Like a cigarette all day.
Yeah, that's like dip.
Yeah.
But it comes in
a pouch. It's a little less gross, right?
Yeah.
Because dip is like loose. Like
dirt.
It's disgusting. My total pajama of a husband constantly has one in his mouth. It's literally from the morning before I leave for work, while I'm cooking dinner, after dinner, literally all day, every day. I brought up this topic and said, not only is it unattractive and unhealthy, but he carries around a water bottle / spit cup when he does it too, which is really gross. He's recently become a toaster, mainly because of your wonderful content during Love is Blind season 6, and he seems to really trust your opinions. So please, tell him he needs to stop or tell me if I'm just being a naggy bitch wife. Love, a grossed out and concerned toaster. So I feel like I can really speak on this because I vaped for many, many years and they're similar. I feel like vaping is less bad, but it's all one and the same. And I got to a place with my vaping where it was like a fun thing I did at parties and it was like a nighttime thing. To by the time I had to quit, it was a 24/7 thing and it became gross, you know? And I'm all for having fun. Like you want to put a pouch in at a party, at a bar. I feel like, you know what? Have fun. You're young, you're whatever. And you know the consequences. Like I knew vaping was bad and I still made the choice to do it. When I got to a place where I was like vaping first thing in the morning, it became really unattractive and really unhealthy. And I'm going to say that to you, kind sir. And I, first of all, love that you're a toaster and you respect our opinions. And I feel like I can say like, you shouldn't be doing it all day, every day. And it's like not fun. Once you're doing it all day, every day, you're getting to a point where you're going to need to quit. Like you took it too far. Yeah, no, I took it too far.
It's giving like a nicotine addiction.
Whereas like if it was a nighttime fun party thing. Negatively
impacting people in your life. Like if your wife didn't care and we're all having fun, then I guess that is fine. Do whatever you want. But I think we got to pull it back a little bit.
And the thing is like, and I can relate because I took it too far too. And I got to a place where I couldn't. Oh my God, I forgot to tell you guys something.
You vaped.
I did. At Tinx's thing. Tinx. It wasn't Tinx's fault, but I had one hit of a vape. It probably was like the best feeling I've ever had in my life. People said months later, like, you're gonna be so grossed out. It wasn't gross. It was.
Only one?
Only one. And the next day I was fine.
It's like one chip.
I feel like it wasn't a big deal.
No, that's not a big deal.
I was totally fine, but I remember like feeling amazing.
Who gave it to you?
You know who gave it to me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's who would give it to you.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not even mad at her.
No, I know, and I'm not mad either. The next day I told Ben, and I was like mad at myself the next day, but I completely forgot about it. I have no cravings, so I felt pretty good.
Yeah, that's all good.
And so if I could get to a place where it's like I did it at a party, like that's what you should be doing. That's what those things are for. It's supposed to be fun. When you take it too far, it's like, okay, what's next? Heroin?
No, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, dipping your mouth, spit cup.
It's also like really not, unattractive
we're to not be playing spitting. Baseball.
Yeah, no, if you want to be doing that, like start bringing in some MLB money.
Yeah.
And then make a talk.
I think that's such a fair compromise. Marriage is all about compromise. And that's
what would make. Join the Yankees?
What would make me feel okay.
There's yours in, bro. And that's motivating.
Yeah.
So we'll be following up in a year. Have you made the MLB or have you quit this horrid habit?
Honestly, I'm rooting for you to make the MLB.
Me too. Who cares about cancer? We're rich.
Who cares about a spit cup?
Yeah, no, we're wealthy.
You can go spit cup it's in your other
Jackie,
room.
Jackie, it's a spit goblet.
Down the other side of the house.
In the West Wing. All right, you guys, thanks to everyone who wrote into Dear Toasters. We appreciate you, and we hope that, you know, whatever you're going through, we made it a little bit better. That's our show.
We love you dearly, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you so much for listening to the Toast of Millennium Morning Show, where we deliver the fast-five stories you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching us on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast, and we're podcasting. We're on Spotify, YouTube, both media, I guess. Beautiful, stunning, and wickedly talented we are.
Love ya. Bye.